This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, September 4th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll follow around an 82-year-old delegate from Illinois at the Republican National Convention this week in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana that includes a little rain for a change. But first, today's news. An antitrust lawsuit against two large Champaign-Urbana health clinics has been allowed to go to trial. The suit alleges Carl Clinic Association and Christie Clinic conspired to reject new Medicaid clients in an effort to boost the rate at which the state reimburses the clinics for Medicaid. Healthcare advocates charge that the move forced some patients to go without care or pay more for it. Scott Mulford is a spokesman for the Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who filed the suit. He read from a statement saying they'll move ahead.
The court's decision will allow us to continue our efforts to ensure that the 20,000 Medicaid-eligible children and adults in Champaign County have health care choices and can readily obtain quality primary medical care.
Carl and Christie say they did nothing wrong. A Carl spokeswoman says they're looking at the ruling before they comment. The ruling comes 9 months after a judge dismissed the Attorney General's original lawsuit. In that dismissal, Judge Richard Klaus allowed the AG to refile their complaint. And yesterday, Judge Klaus denied Carl and Christie's motion to dismiss the new case. Illinois House lawmakers will return to the Capitol next week to vote on a possible lease of the state's lottery to a private firm. Sean Crawford reports.
It appears the lottery privatization could be the best hope for getting what's known as a capital program that would take care of infrastructure needs. Illinois would allow a private firm to run the lottery in return for paying the state a fixed amount. That money would be used to leverage billions of dollars in construction projects. Gary Hannig of Litchfield is the House Democrats' top budget negotiator.
There's nothing really else out there. No one's suggesting we can raise the gas tax or that we should raise any other taxes. It appears that the lottery may be the way we fund a capital bill simply by default.
Hannig says there is still work to be done before the special session gets underway on Wednesday. That includes making sure schools continue to benefit from lottery proceeds and figuring out the list of projects that would be paid for under the plan. Republican votes will also be needed, so the GOP will have a seat at the negotiating table. It's uncertain if the Senate will also convene. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois State Senator James Meeks has called off a boycott of Chicago public schools staged to protest Illinois' education funding system. Organizers said last night the two-day boycott of CPS was a success and brought attention to the issue of school funding while showing students what a well-funded school looks like. Tuesday, when school started for CPS, more than 1,000 students boarded buses to suburban Northfield, where they symbolically registered at the affluent Nutrier High School. Earlier yesterday, students skipped classes to attend impromptu lessons in the lobbies of 18 downtown Chicago government and business buildings, including City Hall, the James R. Thompson Center, and Boeing's headquarters. First corn and soybeans got too much rain, now they're not getting enough. The National Drought Mitigation Center says much of the Corn Belt, including most of Minnesota and Ohio, Wisconsin, and parts of Indiana and Iowa, is in a moderate drought. Farmers say they still expect strong crops, particularly considering the wet start. But a hot, dry August will likely take a chunk out of the corn harvest, and it could hurt soybeans as well. University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger says Illinois corn has probably stopped adding grain because of hot, dry weather, but he says soybeans could get better. Forecasters say remnants of Hurricane Gustav could deliver rain this week. A Champaign County Board Committee will take a fresh look at a proposal to change the county board's size and structure. The policy committee will start its review of the issue next month. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The policy committee will sift through proposals collected by reform advocates Brendan McGinty and Greg Knott. Knott, the county board GOP caucus leader, says all ideas are on the table, but he says he remains in favor of cutting the county board's 27 members down to a smaller number, such as 18.
You get 27 in a room. Quite frankly, I've seen us make some decisions in the last 10 years I've been on here that have been very poor. Or we delay or we wait until the 11th hour when the decision-making, you know, we're backed into a corner and don't have a choice to do things.
Democrat and Policy Committee Chairman Tom Betts says he's keeping an open mind, but believes keeping the county board larger allows for more measured deliberation of the issues and more diversity.
There's advantages to having a board with a lot of social, racial, economic, job diversity, and 27 people gives you a lot of diversity.
Bett says it will take months for the policy committee to reach a conclusion, which would then come before the full county board and possibly before the voters in an advisory referendum. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Sportswear clothing chain Steve & Barry's has announced that its locations in Champaign, Danville, and the Decatur area are among about 100 stores that will close as part of an overall reduction in size. Steve & Barry's was recently purchased out of bankruptcy by BHS&B Holdings, a new formed affiliate of two investment firms, leaving about 170 stores under its control. Spokeswoman Rachel Brenner says closing dates for the three stores in East Central Illinois have yet to be announced. 10 stores in all in Illinois are closing their doors, including two in the Peoria area. A number of stores around Chicago will keep their doors open. Kellogg hopes to boost its production in the Midwest through the purchase of assets of plants in Illinois and Indiana. The Michigan foodmaker says it will integrate Brownie products at Gardner, Illinois, and Indie Bake products at Seelyville, Indiana, into its U.S. snacks operation. Financial terms were not disclosed. About 150 Indie Bake and Brownie employees joined Kellogg when the deal closed. Kellogg says it expects to add about 300 new full-time and contract positions at the Seelyville facility, about 5 miles northeast of Terre Haute. For the latest newscast online, go to wil.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bowser. National political conventions are known primarily for the primetime speeches, but attendees also go to dinners, tourist attractions, fundraisers, and parties. Mary Welling wanted to do all that and more this week in Minneapolis, St. Paul. She's 82, and this is her first time being a delegate. Robert Wildebor spent the last couple of days trying to keep up with her and has this report.
Right now you're probably thinking that's hyperbole, right? The part about me not being able to keep up with an 82-year-old woman? Oh, would that it were so. I first met Mary Welling after the delegation breakfast a couple days ago. She was chatting with two other delegates she'd just met.
Lou Piniella, I think, has done a very good job. He's got to keep, you know, Carlos Zambrano in tow.
On this day, after breakfast, Welling has some free time, so she's decided she wants to conquer one of the largest shopping centers in the country, the Mall of America. After getting some directions in the hotel lobby, she takes off down the street in the rain.
I think we've got about an eight-block walk.
Welling walks fast. I'm 6'3 and a pretty fast walker. She's faster. Soon, she's hopping on the train.
I was a short walk. We were here before we knew it.
Welling finds a seat and tells me how she ended up at the convention. She's an accidental delegate. She agreed to get signatures for John McCain and dutifully sent them in. Then, on the day of the primary election, she got a call.
One of my friends called, said, Mary, you're on the ballot here. Do you want us to vote for you? I says, what ballot? I was on the public ballot. As a delegate for McCain. Well, I said, I don't care.
Welling is a retired school teacher from Rock Island, Illinois, near the Illinois-Iowa border. For 14 years of her career, she taught a class that had mentally handicapped kids and kids with behavioral problems and kids with learning disabilities all in one room at the same time. After telling me a few more stories, we get to the mall, and Welling makes a beeline for the women's section at Macy's and finds some good deals.
This is what I'm looking for in a blue.
She tries on some clothes, but nothing fits quite right. So she goes back to the hotel for lunch and then heads to a fundraiser featuring Mitt Romney. I meet up with Welling in the evening at the Excel Center where all the speeches are taking place. She splits her time there between listening to the speeches and chatting up famous people.
Just got a picture of Carl Rove.
As we talk, she darts off every few minutes.
Oh, Greta. Greta Van Susteren.
Former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich passes by, as does Rudy Giuliani, and then she's off again.
Oh, Henry Kissinger. Oh, Mr. Kissinger.
When Mitt Romney takes the stage, Welling stands up and cheers him on. But when Sarah Palin steps up to the mic, Welling sits quietly, looking up at the large screen on the scoreboard at the top of the arena. Welling liked what she considered Palin's one-liners criticizing Barack Obama, but she expected to hear more about how Palin would govern as VP.
I was listening intently to see what she, you know, what she was going to offer, and I don't know if there was a lot of substance to it.
Welling says she was too far from Palin to gauge her, but she says she's confident she'll get to meet Palin before the election. Given all the people I've seen her chase down, I don't doubt it at all. In any case, being at the convention has Welling in high spirits. She's more convinced than ever that John McCain is the right choice for president.
It just fired me up. Now I got to get going now. Mary, we only got so many days. I'm thinking we only got so many days to the election. I got to get going now.
Welling says the high point of the convention was when the crowd sang the national anthem and she could hear all the men around her joining in. She says she knows the country needs improvement, but she's tired of the negativity implicit in Obama's message of change.
Oh, America has to change. We're in trouble here. We're in trouble there. To me, America is still the greatest country.
Even though it's nearly 11 p.m., Welling's planning to stick around the convention hall for a while, and there's a party she's thinking of going to after that. From the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I'm Robert Wildeboer.
In the forecast for the region, cloudy skies, periods of rain, and some thunder this morning. Rainfall should be steady at times, heavy during the afternoon and the early evening, the high 74. Cloudy tonight, rain during the evening, tapering to occasional showers overnight. Heavy rainfall possible during the early evening hours, the low around 60. Cloudy skies tomorrow, a chance of lingering showers early, then becoming partly sunny during the afternoon, the high 75. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 56, mostly sunny Saturday with a high of 79, mostly clear Saturday evening, the low 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.